it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, Dylan behind the glass. Before we get to In the Huddle, it is Tuesday. Top 5 Tuesday is on deck at 7:40. Bo is in charge today. Do you want to talk about your category again?
Yeah, doing, look, in honor of the Falcons' first road game of the year, regular season road game, I think I'd do top five places, road games and environments, places to play, the hardest places to play, the top five. And my list is probably going to differ from what some common thought processes are and knowledges, but I do have a couple of honorable mentions. There is a tie on the list because I think that one of them I've been to just once. Have I been there twice? I can't remember, but I know once. And we won, but it was an awesome atmosphere, and it's gotten harder as the team's gotten better. The other is a place that's just, no matter what, is always hard to win. I'll get to those.
I'd be curious, and I want to hear from people during the wake-up call today, too, like which stadiums have you traveled to?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think that's really, really cool. And there's some Falcons fans that I think, and I've talked to many of them that, you know, once a year try to go to an away game. Sometimes that's a flight. Sometimes that's, you know, you're playing at Tampa or at Carolina or, you know, even at Nashville sometimes. So I'll be curious to see how many guys we can get to call in that have actually attended some of these away games and, you know, knew what the – or maybe it's a fan of that team. So interesting to see.
And the point of reference, I've been to every stadium in current rotation, and I think I've probably been to like 35 in total NFL stadiums that have obviously gone away. So I think I have a decent pull. And in the one I didn't put on there, I'll go ahead and tell you one I didn't put on there, it was Buffalo. And it's not because it's not hard. It's not. It's extremely difficult to play in for quite a few reasons, including weather, which is one of the factors in this list.
Well, you are very experienced in all the stadiums, so I am curious
yes, I am.
To hear. I am curious to hear your list. That'll be coming up at 7:40. Now let's go ahead and talk about the Falcons' next opponent. The Vikings had an incredible comeback to win over the Bears last night, 27-24. Now the Falcons head to Minnesota this week. So did that comeback make you take a second look at the Vikings for Sunday's game?
Definitely made me take a second look at J.J. McCarthy and Justin Jefferson, you know, right? I think that's the combination you saw that hooked up for a touchdown and, you know, seemed to get things going. There was a point, you know, almost at halftime, I believe, where I looked down and Justin Jefferson had one catch. And you're like, dude, if I'm J.J. McCarthy, I am trying to find him. And of course, Chicago knows that, so they're going to do everything they can to take him away. But obviously, nice job by Kevin O'Connell and company of making sure they dig deep in the second half, draw up some good plays, and Caleb Williams went quietly into the night, to borrow a term from Independence Day, man. The guy was just – they did not operate at a very high level there in the second half. Both these teams awful on third down, too, by the way. Ding.
25%, both. Yeah. 3 for 12 each team. Crazy. Look, I am actually glad they won because I don't want them to be the more desperate team going home. It does make me, though, fear a little bit that McCarthy has that confidence going into a home game. That's a place where, Allie, you don't want to get down early.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you – I know that there's there's no place you really go on the road, but that is as bad of a place to get down early because it kind of – it's extremely loud and it can kind of steamroll. I've seen it happen to us there.
I'll be the first one to say that I don't really understand the NFL scheduling model. How is it that we draw Minnesota back-to-back years at Minnesota?
Well, last year – well, it's because you finished second in the division the last 2 years, and so have they. That's what it is.
Why do they get the home game then?
I don't know how that rotates around.
Okay.
That's got to – that
I'm
that
like,
part –
I'm the first – I don't know.
That
weird.
part I can't tell you, but I do know that you rotate divisions because last year we did not play Detroit.
No.
Nope. We didn't play Chicago. Yeah. So that was when we played the North. I'm not sure how that part it goes into it, but I know that when you finish second, you play every every second place team in the conference that you play in, other than the division that you are going against that year, which you play all those teams anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Unfortunate.
But then it rotates in when you play the division. Sorry, Allie.
There were some questions yesterday if Russell Wilson would start for the Giants in week two. Head coach Brian Daboll has spoken on it.
Do you intend to start Russell Wilson this week?
Yes. It's a tough game. Again, like I said yesterday, that game just doesn't fall on Russell Wilson. You got to do a better job collectively, coaching, playing, but Russell will be the starter.
Is he using his words very carefully there?
I think so. And I think that they're at Dallas this week, if I'm not mistaken. I believe they play at Dallas Sunday at 1 o'clock. So I think if you're going to start Jackson Dart, you don't, and we talked about this last year with Michael Penix, it's very, very similar. It's like, you don't want to put him in. And actually we were going to Minnesota when a lot of this conversation happened. It's like, you don't want to put him in against a pass rush like that and a defense like that when you're on the road. You don't want to ask Jackson Dart to make that his first start. And I think he understands that if Jackson Dart is going to fare well, and that everybody else around him is going to have to play well as well. You know, and so let's clean that up, and then we'll put Jackson Dart in a position to succeed. You don't want to ruin the kid by putting him in week two of his rookie season.
Yeah, I actually kind of disagree. I think he's chomping at the bit to put him in. I think he wants to get Jackson Dart out there as soon as he can to prove that he needs to keep his job, because he's got the future and he's the guy to train him. Look what I did with Josh Allen. The quicker I get Jackson Dart, the quicker I can have him playing at a high level and this team maybe winning some games late to save my job. That's I know.
What do you think is holding him back then?
It's got to be something with the front office and ownership, right? I mean,
I just think it's the situation. That was my point. It's like, I'm sure he wants to put him in very, very soon. I just think situation, you have to be very careful.
I just don't understand drafting guys in the first round. I think Tom Brady has said this well. You're putting guys in too soon. It's a little bit different when you draft a guy like 20s. They drafted him late, yeah, right?
24th.
24th, something like that. Something so it's a little bit more understandable there. But, you know, when you have a top 10 pick, you start them. I mean, that's just how it is. You don't have time anymore. He's seen, I think, something from him that makes him think that he's the best option.
So the 49ers signed wide receiver Kendrick Bourne after Juan Jennings suffered an injury in their opener on Sunday. On top of that, 49ers are also dealing with some other injuries. Brock Purdy, George Kittle could both be out for week two. George has a hamstring issue. Brock is dealing with left shoulder and toe injuries. Brock seems like he could be back by the time the Falcons play, but George Kittle could be out 3 to 5 weeks. And when they play October 19th, I believe.
Yeah.
So it'll be close.
Yeah. What is in the water out there for that team at that team facility, man? They are always beat up. I mean, always beat up.
Mm-hmm.
That team. Well, we talk about injury issues with us on offense, you know, time and time again. They are always without like five players on any given week, it seems like. And I'm talking about offense, defense. I mean, you go back to the Super Bowl Achilles injury. You go, you know, they go back to the championship game they were playing down to the third string quarterback. There's just so much craziness that goes on with that team. And Christian McCaffrey's calf. I mean, it's just every freaking week we hear something about San Fran and the injuries out there.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
There.
I don't know what to tell you. My fantasy team wants Brock Purdy. Our fantasy team wants Brock Purdy to recover. The George Kittle thing is a big deal. I mean, so is Juwan Jennings. Don't get me wrong. It's a big deal. So I don't know what to tell you. I don't know why. I mean, the Christian McCaffrey thing just is a little bit different with them. You know, you knew what his injury history was when you traded for him.
The George Kittle is the best multi-use tight end in the NFL. He's the, like, when you have to run routes and you have to block at the line of scrimmage, in terms of being well-rounded, he's the best one in the NFL.
I totally agree.
He is unbelievable and changes everything you're trying to do
offensively. I totally agree. He plays with a different mentality, too.
Well, we are up against it, but I do want to mention one other injury that could affect a Falcons game. Carolina Panthers defensive tackle Tershawn Wharton will miss 2 to 4 weeks with a hamstring injury.
That is massive for the Falcons. He is a guy they signed in the offseason, and after the film I watched this morning, you don't want him in the lineup. Let me just put it that way.
And Derek Brown's back, right? So having to go – and Derek Brown owns Chris Lindstrom. I'm sorry, I love Lindstrom. He's my guy, but he owns him.
Probably be the first one to tell you.
And I'm going to tell you something.
He'd probably be like, yep.
That's why I get back to people who want to argue about play con. That's all great. We can argue play con all you want. And you're right on a lot of what you say. I believe what you say. But if you can't win your battle at the point of attack, it doesn't matter. Everything else is erroneous.
Well, coming up, Braves GM Alex Anthopoulos revealed some pretty bad news yesterday. And we will talk about who is out now for the Braves. Going to switch gears a little bit. Plus, it's Top 5 Tuesday. Bo is in charge.
My hardest road environments in the NFL to play in. Next on the Morning Shift, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.